Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, if you would, please. Chapter 1, the passage that we read this morning. Am I turned on, Gary, or am I... Okay. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look at in regard to... This morning, talking about specific prayer. If you remember last week, we talked about corporate prayer. Today, we're going to talk about specific prayer in regard to our relationship with God and also our talking and praying for other people. So let's pray together, and then we can begin. Our wonderful God, it's a privilege to be able to come together on this first day of the week and to celebrate the most important event in all of history, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our wonderful Savior Jesus. We thank you that we can partake of the Lord's Supper today and to remember that tremendous event that took place, but also to remember what it means to us personally, that our sins have been forgiven, that we have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and so we're standing now as part of the family of God, and that we can walk with you and talk with you and serve you and love you and be your ambassador here in this world that we live in. And we thank you, God, for just all of these truths that you have revealed to us in Scripture, but most of all, God, we thank you that we can have a living and vital relationship with the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we can call you our Father, and you indeed have brought us into the family of God through our new birth and through our adoption, and God, we just rejoice in how great you are to us each day, and thank you, God, that we can talk this morning about praying, as you have given us this opportunity to pray, where we communicate to you the truths of our lives. We confess our sins to you. We have the opportunity to intercede on the behalf of other people, that we can in our prayer time worship you and lift up your holy name, that we can fellowship together as we pray with other believers. And God, you have just given us this tremendous gift for us to use and in prayer. And I just pray, God, that we would not be negligent in our use and our involvement in talking to you, God, about all the things that go along. And we know your Scripture tells us that we need to pray without ceasing, and we ask, God, that you'd help us to do that. And God, we want to lift up this morning some folks in our church family that are needy. We think of our sister Arlene and our sister Anita, both of them, Lord, having issues with their back, and pray, God, that you would help them. We pray, Father, for Jimmy needing a kidney transplant, and just pray that you'd provide the right person for that, for healing of Nova's leg, and also the pain that she is seems like she's always has, and help her with that, Lord. And for Sandor, the same prayer, Lord, the pain that that he has, we lift him up to you and ask you, God, to help him with his need in regard to that. And we thank you, God, for miraculously giving us a new baby to our church family this week, and we just are so excited about just the blessing there of a new life and a new little girl to raise in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we just ask, Heavenly Father, for you to be with Joanne and Ryan and help them, Lord, to be the parents that they need to be to little Finley, and just ask you to help her to grow in her relationship with you. And thank you, God, for Ron's sharing about what's going on with the peacocks over in South Africa, and we ask, God, for rain for that country, and we could see how hard that would be to live in a country with so many people and such a lack of water, and we just ask, God, that you would provide there for that, and help everybody to recognize, God, that what you're trying to do in the midst of this, and maybe to bring a nation to their knees so that they can understand that everything that they have comes from you, and ask God for you to just help them, Lord, in their ministry there, and making decisions about what they're going to do and how they're going to handle things, and just, again, your hand to be upon them. And we thank you, God, for all the missionaries that we are involved in and support. We pray, God, that you'd help them to minister the Word of God faithfully, and look forward, God, to what you're going to do in the days that lie ahead by working in them and through them. And we just ask, God, for your hand to be upon them. And we now ask, God, that you would just help us to be the men and women of God that you desire us to be, that we could make whatever changes, and Lord, if there needs to be changes in our prayer life, we pray, God, that you would help us to recognize that and to make those changes so that we could be more effective in our prayer service for you. We ask these things in the name of our glorious and wonderful Savior Jesus, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. One of the things that you and I do regularly in our routine is we check things. We check on what's going on. We have, if you have a car, there are several things on the car that you want to make sure that you check regularly, because if there's no air in the tires, or there's no oil in the engine, or if there's no transmission fluid, you recognize that it's not going to work. So you check those things. You make sure that they are, they're okay, so that you can be safe as you're traveling around. If you have a lawnmower, you do the same kind of thing with your lawnmower. You know, you check the blade and see if it's fastened securely, if it's sharp to cut the grass, if there's oil, check the air filter. You know, you check these things so that it can be effective in doing what it's supposed to do. If you are a game person, you check a sports enthusiast of any kind. You know, if you have a gun that you like to shoot, or you go hunting, you check it. You make sure that it's clean. You make sure that it's empty. You make sure that it's it's ready to go. You have the right ammunition to go with it. Or if you're a golfer, you make sure that your grips are right and there's nothing dirty on the face of your club and those kind of things. You check those things. You're getting prepared to use them. So you go through sort of a system of checking those things. If you use tools, ladies, you're working in the kitchen maybe, or men, you're working in the kitchen, and you pull out a knife and you say, wow, I wonder if this knife is sharp. And when you got to saw a tomato like this, you probably say, maybe I need to sharpen this thing up a little bit. I need to get it in right shape. And so you are checking different things all the time. You think about your clothes that you wear. You check your clothes. I went up last week. I went up Sunday morning to get a shirt to wear for church, and I pulled this, I don't know if it was in the dryer or hanging up someplace, and I looked at this thing, and here's all these little lint balls all over this shirt that I wanted to wear, and I thought, if I could wear this to church, if my wife would let me sneak out the door with it on, she probably wouldn't. But I needed to get rid of the lint, so I got my little roller thing, and I went over it all, and I got rid of all the lint off of the shirt, and so you check your clothes. Do they have any holes in them? Are they dirty? You can't go out, and the big one that everybody has to check for, especially if you're going to get them by your wife, is do they have any wrinkles in them? Okay, and I always tell my wife, I say, honey, I know it's wrinkled now, but if I wear that for 10 minutes, all the wrinkles are just going to fall right out of that, and there won't be a wrinkle around. And she doesn't believe me, and she's probably right, but don't tell her I said that, okay? So you're checking, these things all the time. We check the doors in our house. Are the doors locked whenever I go to bed or whenever I leave? Are the lights turned off? Is the dishwasher still running? We're always checking things, all the time. We are checking on our kids. If your kids don't live at your house, you check up on them and say, well, what are you doing? How are you you doing? You know, what's going on with, you know, with things? And so one of the things we do all the time is we're always checking on something, okay? And those of us that have OCD, we even check on things more than other people check on things. You know, we may have to check on things, you know, a half a dozen times past the other person's checking on things. So, you know, we do this all the time. We're always checking on something. Have you ever checked your prayer life and say, am I doing this the right way? Am I praying for the right things in regard to people? And so this morning what I'd like to do is I'd like to just run a little check on our prayer life and say, you know, is this the way God would have me to pray? Specifically thinking about, you know, whether it's, you know, praying in our prayer closet that we talked about last week just for a couple of seconds. You know, we're praying privately or, you know, we're praying together as a church family. You know, what kind of things does God want us to pray for? Now, you know, the normal things that people pray for. You know, health things are, you know, always at the top of the list of things that we pray for. And again, there's no issue with that. There's no problem with that. But there's prayer goes deeper, goes wider, it goes higher than just praying for somebody's somebody's health issues. You know, there's more to it than that. God has, you know, greater expectations in our prayers for one another than just praying for, one another's health. And sometimes, you know, if we can't think of, you know, anything else to pray about somebody, pray for somebody in regard to, we say, well, God just bless them. And I always thought, you know, I wonder what that means. Is that, you know, giving them $1 million, or is that, you know, just a big meal that, you know, the next one they have, or, you know, what exactly is blessing? And I think whenever we look this morning, we're going to look at Paul's prayer as he prayed for the church at Philippi. We're going to see that church at Colossae, Paul's prayer was really, really very specific in the things that he was asking God on behalf of the folks at the church at Colossae. And I think that we can sort of use this as a check or a picture or an idea of how we ought to organize, or at least things that we ought to pray for in regard to other brothers and sisters in Christ, other people, people that we love, you know, people that we pray for, that we could use this sort of as a standard of things that we want to pray about. So let's turn to the book of Colossians. I think you're already there, and we'll begin with looking at verse 9. And in verse 9 it says this: for this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Okay? So he's saying to them, you know, you folks at Colossae, and again, you know, here's Paul writing this letter, and he's writing this letter, and he's saying, you know, we've been praying for you. You know, ever since we have, you know, had relations with you, ever since that we have come in contact with you, and some of you got saved, we got the church started there. He says, whoa, man, we've been praying for you. We've been going to God on your behalf and asking for, you know, some very specific things to take place. Now, I want you to notice the first thing that he says. He says, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Okay? And I think the very most important thing, the thing that we want to know, and the thing that we want other people to know, and we would pray for other people to know, is, you know, what is God's will? What's God's plan? What is it that God wants with your life? And he says, you know, we're praying that God would just fill you up with the knowledge of his will, so that you would know what God's will is. And again, you know, we run into, you know, what's God's will on a daily basis of, you know, what do I do with my time, and what do I do with my talents, and what do I do with my treasures, and what do I, you know, how can I be a ministry help to people, and you know, what is your will, God? What's your plan for me? And you know, sometimes we need to have the answer to that on a minute-to-minute basis of, you know, here I'm going to make a decision about how I'm going to invest my time. And so, you know, what's your plan? What do you want me to do, God? And so he's saying, you know, we're praying for you that you would understand that. And whenever we think about knowing God's will, I think there's a couple of different ways that we get the understanding of God's will for our life. Obviously, we go to the Word of God. You know, and there are some things that, you know, God is very specific about that He wants us to, you know, to live out in our day-to-day life. And one of those is praying. One of those is, you know, I'm just picking some things right off the top of my head. One of those is praying. One of those would be loving the brethren. One of those would be sharing the gospel with other people. One of those would be helping other people to grow in their relationship with God. And there are, you know, some very specific things that we see in the scripture that God wants us to do. You know, to rejoice in the Lord always. You know, all of these kinds of things that God is very specific, and He reveals those things in His Word. I think that we also find out God's will as we find it from other people. Sometimes people come up to us and ask, you know, can you help me in this particular situation? Or could you give me an idea of what could be helpful in this situation? And so in our interaction with other people, that, you know, it opens up opportunities for us to minister and to help, and we determine, you know, the will of God. You know, you hear people talking about, you know, putting their schedule together for the day, and they're saying, you know, at 8 o'clock I'm going to do this, and at 10 o'clock I'm going to do this, and at 2 o'clock I'm going to do this. And, you know, as the day goes along, we have this all planned out, and instead of the thing that we wanted to do at 10 o'clock, we get a telephone call from somebody. And we look at the telephone and say, well, you know, I know who this person is, because, you know, everybody now has their name on the telephone, right? And if they don't, we don't answer the call, right? So the number's on there, and you look at this and say, you know, if I answer this phone, I'm going to skip my 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and 1 o'clock appointment, because I know that, you know, this person is going to need some help. They're going to need some encouragement. And sometimes you say, I have other things that I need to do. And sometimes you say, boy, you know, I'm going to be the best encouragement that I can to this person. And so you take that phone call and you minister, you help. And, you know, even though we have laid that out as not part of our 10 o'clock appointment of what we're going to do, you know, God interrupts those kind of things with other people stepping into our day so that we can encourage, we can be a blessing, we can minister to them. So we see, we understand from the Bible, we understand from Scripture, and sometimes we understand God's will from experience. That we see things that are going on with people, and we understand that, you know, that, you know, we have lived long enough to understand that they have gone through some struggles and trials, and, you know, the next opportunity that I have, I'm going to step in and try to be a blessing to that person. I'm going to step in and I'm going to try to, you know, to share some, you know, some truth with them to get them, headed in the right direction again. I'm going to step in and try to be a blessing in their life. And so those experiences, God gives us, the opportunity to live out His will in our day-to-day life. And so Paul is praying. He's saying, God, would You reveal Your will to the people in Colossae? You know, through the Scriptures, through experience, through other people. Would You do that? Now notice what he says in the next thing. He says, filled with the knowledge of God, knowledge of His will, in all wisdom. Okay? Now, wisdom is the idea of not just having knowledge about something, but in having that knowledge, knowing it how to put it into practice in our day-to-day life. Okay? Wisdom enabled to, you know, to understand situations and how best to do things and minister to things. You know, classic illustration is this. You know, you know somebody that needs to be saved. Okay, a friend, a loved one, a coworker, you know, something like that, and you know that they need to, you need to be saved, and you know, you have several options and opportunities of how you're going to do this. Okay? Wisdom is, you know, what's the best way to explain the gospel to them? What's the best way to earn their confidence so I can give them the truth? What's the best way for me to relate some of the things that God has been doing in my life so that they can understand it, so that they can, you know, understand the truth of the gospel and they can be saved? Okay? And so, you know, I like to use the illustration of this. You know somebody who is saved, and we can go up to them and, you know, we can whack them on the head a couple times with the Bible and say, you know, you need to listen to this. You need to understand this. You need to know this. And probably all we have done is what? Made them mad, right? Why are you hitting me with a Bible? I don't like that. You know, you mess up my hair. You're giving me welts on my head. You know, just this just isn't working. Why would you do this? Wisdom tells us that we gain a hearing from them. They understand that we care about them. We're interested in them. They understand that we're not going to come up and we're not going to hit them over the head with the Bible. But when we have an opportunity, we're going to give them truth. And that's the idea of wisdom, okay? Wisdom is, you know, taking this knowledge. We know what the will of God is. But wisdom is putting that into practice on a regular basis in the proper way. And wisdom takes many times time and effort and doing a bunch of stupid things first before you figure out what the best way is to handle situations. You know, you think about, raising your children. You know, wisdom in doing that. You know, the first, you know, three or four just for practice. And then you can, you know, then they're after that, you know, number five and six and seven and eight, you know, those are the ones that, you can really, really lean in on and have wisdom in understanding how to do that. Now, notice the next thing he says. Not only in all wisdom, but he says also in spiritual understanding. In spiritual understanding. Okay, now think about this for a second. Whenever we pray, we don't always know what the right thing to pray for is. Okay, we just don't know. We don't know what God's will is, what God's plan is in this particular thing, and we don't understand that. And that's why, you know, he says in the book of Romans that whenever we don't know how to pray for as we ought, that God intercedes in our prayers and does those kinds of things, and so we do that. But we need to understand that, you know, what God is doing. Okay. We need to stop and think, what is it that God is doing in the big picture here? You know, what is God's plan? And I think one of the things that we need to recognize, and I wrote this down because I wanted to say it the right way. When we look at the big picture, we want to see that God is making people like himself. He's not making an easy life for them. Spiritual understanding is, what is God trying to do? God is trying to take this person who is, who was dead and their trespass and sin and now they're saved, and God is trying to change them into his image. God's plan is not for all of us to have an easy life and never have any struggles and trials and difficulties. You know, that's not life. We can't live on this earth like that. And so he says, give us, you know, spiritual understanding. We need to know the will of God in relation to spiritual understanding. So we have wisdom, but also we're praying, God, that you would help people to understand the big picture. What is it that God's trying to do in your life and my life? Well, the big picture, what he's trying to do, is he's trying to make me like Jesus. And if I'm going to be like Jesus, that means what's going to have to happen? I'm going to have to change. Spiritual understanding. And God brings things into my life. And God allows things to happen in your life and my life so that we will make those kind of changes that God wants us to make. So when we're thinking about praying, we're thinking about praying with God's will. He says, I want you to pray that the Colossians, or you, as you would pray for somebody else, pray that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they would know what God's will is for their life, but they would have wisdom to live it out and spiritual understanding. They would have the big picture of what's going on in life. Now just stop and think about that for a little bit. You know, just one verse here in regard to Paul's prayer and how different many times that is than the way we pray for people. We need to stop and do a little check on our prayers for other people and even for ourselves that, you know, how am I praying? What am I praying for? What are we looking to? What's God want to accomplish? Okay, let's go on to the next verse in regard to the prayer. Next verse in regard to the prayer is number 10, Colossians 1:10. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord. Okay. Now, the first thing we need to understand is that none of us is ever worthy of the Lord, right? You know, the Lord is up here. You know, we're down here someplace. You know, we're never going to walk worthy of the Lord. But I think the idea is that Paul is saying that, you know, here are you Colossians that have been saved, and now you are these Christ ones. You are Christians, and God has an expectation on the way that you walk. You know, God has an expectation on the way that you live your life. And the idea of walking is the idea of how you live your life. And so here's God's expectation. And he lists three things, okay? Number one is pleasing him, okay? And the idea of pleasing him, or the verse says, unto all pleasing, that we're seeking to please God in our life. Now, think about this for a second. How do most of us live our lives? We wake up in the morning and we say, well, what am I going to do today? What am I going to say today? What am I going to be involved in today? How am I going to handle things today? Instead of stopping and thinking, well, what is it that's going to please God? What's going to make God happy? Because, you know, for the most part, we are pretty selfish people. You know, we want to do our own thing, and we want to do it our own way, and if we don't do our own thing in our own way, then we're going to get mad and stomp our feet and say, why isn't it going my way? You ever been around anybody like that? I mean, other than yourself. I'm talking about, have you ever been around anybody else that has acted like that? Yeah. We have this selfishness in us, this selfish desire to do things. But he says, you know, let's live. He says, I'm praying that you'll live pleasing to the Lord, not pleasing of ourselves. Paul was praying that they would please the Lord and do what gives God pleasure. We understand this concept, the difference between giving your husband a burnt biscuit for supper. Say, honey, here's my job. I've made you something to eat, and you put it on a big plate so it looks like you got a lot. And you got this one burnt biscuit on this plate, and you give it to him and say, I have done my duty, I have done my job, I have given you something to eat. Now your husband, being the good godly man that he is, he says, whoa, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm excited that I have, you know, something to eat. But in his heart he's saying, she really doesn't want to do this. She is not into this. She is not seeking to please me. Okay, you know, and it works the other way around too. You know, the day that you're doing the dishes, guys, right, helping your wife, and you only do the dishes that you like to do. Okay, the plates, the saucers, the cups, the glasses, you know, anything that has any grease or yucky stuff, you put those on the stove and you just let them sit there and say, you know, in your mind you're saying, well, honey, we'll get those later. I will take care of, you know, the things that aren't too bad or the things that I can stick into the dishwasher, okay? So, you know, your honey decides, well, he's not into this. He's just doing this to make himself feel good, because he's not making me feel good, that's for sure, right? You know, that kind of a thing. And so you get the picture here that they're not into it, right? They're not doing that. So you have the picture here of, you know, we can say that we're trying to, you know, to please God with our life, but Paul is praying for them that in their walking worthy, that their desire is to please God with the way they live their life, the things that they do, the decisions they make. Do these things please God as opposed to pleasing myself? And I'll tell you, of all the challenges that we face as born-again Christians, that's a big one. Not living to please me, but living to please God. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on, and he says in the next part of the verse, he says, being fruitful in my service to God. Okay, and I believe that God wants us to produce three different kinds of spiritual fruit. Okay, and you think about, you know, apple trees are only good if they produce apples. Tomato plants are only good if they produce tomatoes. You know, they're only as good as the fruit that they produce. Okay, so if we're to use that picture on us, you know, what kind of fruit does God want us to produce? Well, God wants us to produce, I believe, three different kinds of fruit. One would be that we would lead other people, tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would get saved. People would be born again. The other would be that we would help people that are born again to grow in their relationship with God. You know, to disciple them, to develop in their relationship with God, in their growth, in their maturity, in the things of God, because God provides this discipleship model all through the Scripture. And the third is that we would develop and mature ourselves, that growth would take place in our lives, okay? And again, you know, we can see that growth, you know, like in the early years of our salvation, you know, that growth, you know, just sort of goes like that. But after you've been saved for a period, you know, sometimes we get plateaued and we say, you know, well, I'm better than everybody else at Faith Bible Church, so why do I need to change? Why do I need to mature? Why do I need to develop? Why do I need to get better? You know, why do I need to make changes? And the idea is that, you know, we haven't reached the place where we're like Jesus yet, so there still has to be time, still has to be work in our development, our maturity, in our grace of God. So when he's talking about being fruitful, so he says walk worthy, and walk worthy is the idea of being pleasing to God, making those decisions based upon that, but also it's being fruitful. Now notice the last thing that he says in regard to this. In verse number 10, he says, "And increasing in the knowledge of God," knowing more about God. Okay. Now it's interesting that, you know, God is infinite. That means that there's no boundaries. You know, he's have no height, no width, no depth. You know, there is no corralling God. Okay. So that means that there's always something for us to know and to learn about God, whether it's things about his character, whether it's things about his actions, whether it's things about his plan for the future. You know, there's always that opportunity for us to know more about the Lord. And how do we do that? How do we increase in our knowledge of God? Well, again, you know, we go back to the fact of, you know, what's the Word of God say? You know, we're comparing Scripture with Scripture. As we pray, we understand more about God as God changes and directs and helping us. By watching what God is doing over the years, we see how God gives grace, and how God helps, and how God multiplies the things that we have, and how God answers prayers, and all of those kinds of things. We increase in our knowledge to God as we look around and we see what God is doing and how God is handling situations. And so Paul, he's praying for them. He says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, but I don't want you to just be, you know, to have this, you know, understanding in your head. He says, I want you to walk worthy. Take these things that you know and understand, put them into practice in your day-to-day life. Doing what? In pleasing, in service, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Let's go on to the next verse. And the next verse is really exciting when you stop and you think about it. Verse number 11 says, talking about strengthened with God's power. Now, I think it's interesting in the fact that, you know, if you were thinking about, or if I were thinking about being able to be strengthened with God's power, I would say, you know, I'd like to have God's power where, you know, I can jump over tall buildings in a single bound. You know, do something like that. I'd like to have the power that, you know, that Jesus had to, you know, to feed the 5,000. Okay, so instead of anybody bringing something for the fellowship meal we're going to have afterwards, you know, I could just snap my fingers and whoo, you know, we'd have a whole mess of food. You know, and I'm thinking about, you know, strength with power. You know, basically to say, well, you know, look at me, look, you know, he's got God's power. You know, look how great he is. But notice what he says. Notice the things that he says. Praying for God's power, praying for God's strength. Notice what he says. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. And then notice what it says. This is just unbelievable. Unto patience. That's horrible, isn't it? Unto patience? You know, all these things that God could give us power to do, and he's saying, I'm praying that you would be patient. And we know what patience means, right? Bearing up under the struggles of life. Bearing up under the difficulties of life. Bearing up under the trials of life. God giving me strength to handle the things that are going on. Wow, that's an awesome thing to have. But God, you know what would be better? If you just got rid of all my troubles and I wouldn't need that patience. But God knows where we live, right? We live here on planet Earth. We live on, you know, Earth full of sin and struggles and difficulties and trials. You know, that's where we live. And so God says, you know, pray that people would be strengthened to have patience to live under the difficulties and struggles that they have. Because as long as we live here on this earth, we're going to have struggles and difficulties and trials. You know, they're going to be there. But God gives us strength to do that, to bear up under those kind of things. That's the idea of patience. He said you'd have strength to do that. Now notice the next thing. He says in the next thing, he says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto patience and... You know, here God, you know, Paul missed it again. You know, let's pray for, all kinds of, you know, strength and powerful things. He says, unto long suffering. What is long-suffering? Long-suffering is suffering for a long time. Going through difficulties and trials and struggles for a long period of time without losing your composure, without losing your testimony, without losing your temper and getting angry and, you know, shaking your fist at God and say, God, why are these things happening? He says, I've given you strength. I'm praying for you to have strength that you would be able to, you know, stand up and you'd be long-suffering with all this, you know, things that go on in life. You'd be long-suffering with people, you know, put up with them because, you know, there's so many people that just, you know, don't act right and do right and think right and they just aren't right. And you just put up with them because that's where you are. And he says, you're all strength and power to do that. And then notice the third thing that he says. I'm a little bit behind here. Sorry, I get excited about these things and I forget to put them up there. And then notice the last thing. He says, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto patience and long suffering. And then he says this, with joyfulness. That we could be patient with joyfulness. Now, how many of you have ever been to a grocery store? How many of you would like to go to a grocery store sometime when you grow up? Okay, good. So, you're at the grocery store, right? And you know how the grocery stores are. They have, one line open to check you out. And, you know, there's like 25 people standing in this line. And, you know, my line is always, boy, what a great opportunity to apply for a job at this point in time. You know, they need somebody else here to work this, to open up another line so we can get this thing, moving along here. And so whenever you get at the end of the line, and you know in your mind that there are at least three ladies in front of you that either don't have their coupons with them, they don't know how to work the credit card, debit card thing, and then one guy who's just naturally grouchy, who's going to give the cashier a hard time because the line is so long. You know that, okay? But behind these 25 people, you're behind, okay? And so you're standing there, and you don't see anybody smiling. Why?
I want to get out of here. I got these groceries here, and I got worlds to conquer, and I got empires to build, and I got all these things I got to do. And here I am standing in line at the grocery store, and I'm not happy about it, right? You got everybody, arr.
Because with our patience, we don't usually have any joyfulness that goes with it, right? Whenever we're struggling under those things, joyfulness is a hard thing to develop. Whenever we're long-suffering with things, and, you know, Paul is really here praying for the impossible, isn't he? That, you know, in the midst of your patience, in the midst of your long-suffering, whenever God has given you strength for those kinds of things, that you can be joyful in the midst of that. Because let's face it, whether you stand in line at the grocery store for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 15 minutes, it's probably not going to, you know, alter your salvation, right? It's probably not going to mess with your inheritance that you have at all. Probably it's just, you would go home and you'd waste that 5 or 10 minutes doing something different, right? But it's just the fact that here I stand in this line and I don't want to be standing here in this line. You know, it's just our thought about that. Did you ever think about trying to cheer up the other people that are in line? You know, just talk to them. And usually you can get them out of it, you know, within 45 minutes of standing in line. You know, you can talk them right into something fun, you know. If you're there long enough, you know, you could just break into a conversation. And lo and behold, what would happen if you had the opportunity to share the gospel while you're standing in line? Oh, wouldn't that be awful? Huh? But it's joyfulness. And we have that joy. I'm not talking about happiness, the right happenings, because the line is going fast. I'm talking about joy that we have because we have a Savior who lives inside of us and walks with us. And you know, the joy of the Lord, that's what we have because we are Christians, because we know God, because we walk with God, because we don't have to worry about our eternity. We can be full of joy. And so here Paul is praying. He says, I'm praying, I'm asking God that God would strengthen you with his power to be patient, long-suffering, and joyful. Our prayers, do we pray for people that way? Do we pray for ourselves that way? Okay? And again, let's just review quickly. That we'd be filled with the knowledge of his will, understand what God's will is, what God's plan is, that we'd walk worthy, we'd put those things into practice, that we'd have the strength of God unto patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness. And then verse 12 says this, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance in the light. Okay? The last part of our prayer life is that we need to be people that are thankful. Thankful for what? God has made us fit to be partakers of inheritance. God has included us, made us part of the family of God, so we can have this tremendous inheritance of glory from our wonderful God. Number two, we're thankful for God's continual prayer. Excuse me, continual care. God gives us tests. We're thankful for the tests that develop our faith in Him. That's a little bit tougher, right? Thank you, God, for this struggle that I'm in the midst of, because I know that I'm going to come out the other side stronger and closer to you. We're thankful for God's presence in our daily lives. We're thankful for God answering our prayers. And we could just, you know, go down through that whole list of things that we're thankful for. And again, you stop and think about it for a second. Just praying for somebody to be thankful for things that they're in the midst of. You know, and we have, you know, some folks in our church family that are going through some really, 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 really hard things. Do you ask God to help them to be thankful in the midst of that? Whenever you and I are going through these things, do we ask God to help us to be thankful in the midst of those things? And that's what Paul was praying for the church at Colossae. And so when we think, or at least when I think, let me just bare my own soul. Whenever I think of my prayers, I say, man, you really come short of the things that Paul prays for. And Paul wasn't praying, you know, just a blessing on people, and that their life would be easier, that they would, things would work out well. But Paul was just praying for some meaty things. Know his will. To be able to walk worthy of God, to be strengthened with the power of God, those kind of things that he's praying for. And I think that as we pray, maybe those ought to be the things that we pray for people, specifically for him. To use them, to change them, to do what his will, his plan is in their lives. Our Father, we thank you once again for the fact that you have allowed us to be part of your family. And we have this wonderful thing that we call prayer, that we can call upon you on the behalf of others, on the behalf of ourselves. And we thank you, God, for this just wonderful couple of verses of Scripture where Paul lines out what he is praying. And I ask, God, that you'd help us to look at this in regard to the way we pray for people. And maybe, God, we need to do some changing, that we would need to be deeper and more thorough and ask God for spiritual realities in people's lives as opposed to just some kind of a blessing that we really don't have any understanding of or desire to grasp hold of. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us this morning and change us, God, as your will and your plan is. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.